Tonight at 10:30 on Sports Time Ohio, Training Camp Daily takes you onto the sideline and into the huddle with the Cleveland Browns. Tonight on Training Camp Daily, Jim Donovan will go one-on-one with quarterback Brian Hoyer. Jim will be joined by me, Nathan Zagura, and Tony Grossi to discuss who will start at quarterback and how long should the Browns' first-team offense play in Washington. Also, we'll break down the Browns' running game. That's all tonight at 10:30 on Training Camp Daily. Training Camp Daily, presented by PNC Bank, tonight at 10:30 p.m. on Sports Time Ohio. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to go to the phone lines right now, 216-578-0850. Don in Ashland joins the show. What's up, Don?
Hey, how's it going, Nate?
Good, man. How you doing?
Hey, first off, I just want to give you props, man, for the little pregame that you did there, man. It was good seeing you on TV, bud.
Oh, I appreciate that. Had a blast with that. Yeah, absolutely. Always a pleasure to work with Jim Donovan and everybody over there at WKYC. And, yeah, get going here for the Browns this season. But appreciate it.
All righty, sir. First thing is, what I want to say about Johnny, I was very skeptical with the draft of him. But what I want to say about him watching that game, I was really impressed with what I saw as far as arm strength, and I thought it was pretty well accurate, something that I didn't, think I'd see coming out of college. And I thought him running the ball, he kind of tailored it off there after the first couple runs, and he tried to do the college thing, and he realized it really wasn't going to work as well at this level. And I think he kind of adjusted his running style a little bit. But my main question to you is, about Paul Kruger. I think he's really the only, from what I've seen, is probably going to be the weakness of this defense, and my concern with him being, as much money as we're paying him, if he doesn't step up and have a great season, what is it going to do as far as his position? When you got somebody like Jabal Sheard who could probably take his place, and he's a up and coming great player.
Well, I'd say Paul Kruger is a guy who knows that he needs to outperform his 2013 season and knows that he needs to do that very well. And I think he's somebody who's worked very hard, and we've seen some success from him rushing the passer this year. To me, today they had for the orange jerseys were on the line. It was third down in the red zone, about a third and seven, third and five. He beat Joe Thomas one-on-one, yeah, and kind of
knocked
put Joe Thomas on his back,
knocked them over,
and got the sack on Brian Hoyer. So he's a guy that knows he needs to perform better. And I think you're going to see some type of a rotation. I think you're going to see between, obviously Jabal Sheard, who you mentioned, you look at Barkevious Mingo, who I think is starting to show signs of radical development in year number two. And then you've got Kruger there, and they're going to rotate around at that outside linebacker, rush linebacker position. And I think you need to see a good season from Paul Kruger. And I think Paul Kruger knows you need to see a good season from Paul Kruger, or he's not going to be long for Cleveland.
No, I think, and Don's point is right based on what we saw last year, for sure, to the extent that he was a disappointment, a heavy investment and a guy who came up pretty very small with 4.5 sacks. And I think, so what I've seen from him is a guy, number one, who's changed his body. He's gotten lighter. He dropped his weight. He's improved, I think, his stamina. I think he's also worked on technique and is totally bought into what this defense requires a guy at his position to do. And I think all of those are pluses, and it's shown on the practice field, not only what you just described, Nathan, today as far as taking on a 7-time Pro Bowl offensive lineman and getting the best of him, but on a consistent basis, he has really done a better job of just taking a more direct path to the quarterback. We've seen that. I think there are many instances where he would have registered sacks in practice that would have been sacks in games that aren't in practice because you got to hold up. But he is not as hesitant or as much trying to get the tackle to commit one way and then outmaneuver him. I mean, he was taught a certain way of rushing the quarterback in Baltimore. He's being retaught that here with the Browns. And you're right. I think there will be more opportunities for him to alternate, get rest, change, be interchangeable with Jabal Sheard, with Barkevious Mingo. I think those are the plans that this coaching staff has in mind. It's a big year for him, but I'm not down on Kruger. In fact, I'm encouraged that it could be better. He's got to show it, but I'm encouraged he'll be a better player.
I'm encouraged, too. I think we've seen a lot of signs. He's got great use of his hands when he's rushing the passer. Has been very effective with that. I want to see him continue to make plays in the run game as well as just rushing the quarterback. But if Paul Kruger can rush the quarterback effectively, I think everybody here will be very, very happy with what we get from him there. 216-578-0850. And, Vic, one of the questions that I keep popping up, certainly on my Twitter, and certainly I'm sure you're seeing it as well, that everybody has immediately jumped to the conclusion that this rumor that Sage Rosenfels threw out there has to mean Brian Hoyer is being traded to the Texans for Andre Johnson. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are that, again, anything's possible. The Texans are in, let's just discuss this for a moment. The Texans are in dire straits at quarterback. Their first preseason game was abysmal. Bill O'Brien was beyond humiliated with that performance as a first-year head coach trying to show his way. And the concerns over him coming in, replacing Gary Kubiak, what will he bring to the table? And they brought nothing to the table in terms of a quarterback that would give that team instant confidence in terms of ready to play. Tom Savage was drafted. Tom Savage is not ready to step in, I don't think, as a starter. But already the discussion is that a guy you would not want to push into a starting role right away is on the table because Ryan Fitzpatrick was horrible. And I don't know what anyone was expecting from Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a guy. He's a placeholder at quarterback, and he's their starter. And I think Andre Johnson, the noise that he's made about being unhappy there, much of that driven by his feeling of ineptitude at the position. He wasn't happy his guy Matt Schaub was gone, but Matt Schaub struggled last year. So if you're going to make that change, do something to upgrade it. They never did. They've never done that. So how desperate are they? And does Brian Hoyer represent better than what they have? He could, but it's based on a very small snapshot. But for that very, impatient but upset Texans fan base, and they drove Matt Schaub out of town, they're not happy. And I'm sure Bob McNair, their owner, isn't happy. So they may have to do something drastic to help themselves. But here's the thing. If you were to bring in any quarterback, including Hoyer, and give up an Andre Johnson, how have you helped your offense? Because who's catching the ball from Brian Hoyer?
Well, they got DeAndre Hopkins, who they drafted in the first round. But no, for sure, you're losing the best player on that offense.
Right.
So let me just say this. I do not believe that the Cleveland Browns are trading Brian Hoyer. I don't believe that. But let's just go ahead and go through the scenario as though that were possibly on the table. Brian Hoyer is a free agent at the end of this year. So the Houston Texans would have to feel like they were going to be able to sign him to a longer-term deal to even make this trade. Secondly, if the Texans do trade Andre Johnson, he'll count for $11.9 million of dead money against their salary cap. Yes, ultimately they will save $3.6 million because they'll get his $15 million off the books, but that's still $12 million of dead money. That would mean that the 2014 Houston Texans would have a combined $22 million of dead money between Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson on their roster. I just don't know that I see that being a realistic option for this franchise to have $22 million in dead money for two guys only to bring in a quarterback who has started four games in the NFL. And while Bill O'Brien may like him, it's also a quarterback who's a free agent at the end of the year. You'd have to pay him, I would imagine, to secure him to a long-term deal. You'd probably have to pay him higher than his current market value because you're assuming that he's the starter and he's the guy, and that's a little bit of an unknown. But let me, again, that's where the logic seeps into this and makes me say I don't see how this would happen. And then there's the fact that he's the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns right now.
Right.
And while Johnny Manziel is here, it's not like they have decided he's the guy. Could he be the guy? Sure. Then does this maybe become more interesting? Absolutely. But at this point, I don't see the Browns trading Brian Hoyer. And just to think about a Houston Texans team carrying $22 million of dead money from Schaub and Andre Johnson. Now, granted, I probably would have thought they wouldn't carry 10.5 in dead money from Matt Schaub, but they decided to do that. So,
well, if the only way this would, that the part that you mentioned about him being the starter, the only way it would make sense, of course, is, and this is where a lot of people have leaped to a conclusion, is thinking that they've already made up their mind that Johnny Manziel will be the guy. And if you're all in on him as your starter, if collectively they've made that decision and it's just a matter of, okay, seeing him play as a starter Monday night, if that's in fact what he does or whatever he does Monday night, and you're going to go into that first game or go through the rest of your preseason, the final two games with Manziel as the guy, then this would add up. Then now pieces would come into place. The other thought that's there to think about is it another player? Is it not a quarterback? We've had references. We had a caller ask us earlier about Jabal Sheard. Are there tradable commodities within the front seven that would make sense, that would be valuable to another team, to acquire a player of the magnitude of an Andre Johnson. It's a different story if you trade a guy at a high, you know, a high-end player, and I don't know who that be. You know, we heard Sheard's name, Paul Kruger's name is another one that could come into play, but there's a lot of investment there that this team made for a guy after 1 year. Do you make that move for a receiver, and do you have enough depth to overcome it? Maybe they do. I mean, but it's intriguing to look at the speculation, and it's also interesting that all of this is sparked just because we know
there's
that Sage Rosenfels
has
a connection with. There's been nothing.
Nothing
yes.
that said
two
it has
clubs,
anything to do with
two
the Browns.
Out of 32 or the Texans. Two out of 32
or the Texans,
and we're like pulling together that one because of the Rosenfels connection to Kyle Shanahan, and then his history in Houston, and on and on and on and on. It's fun. I call it radio fun.
It is fun. And listen, I come from the fantasy football world. The NFL doesn't work like fantasy football. It's not. You don't just make trades like this just because it seems like a fun thing.
Just because your buddy says,
if
hey,
it happens, I will be.
Make a trade.
You can say that I will be absolutely shocked. You can put that on record. I would be stunned.
All right, wait a minute. I'm putting it on record. Nathan Zagura would be shocked.
Shocked. Yes, indeed.
You and many others.
Yes, yes. The list would be long. Maybe not distinguished, but long.
See, this is the thing, because the Browns haven't been enough, haven't gained enough attention yet, you know, nationally. People still don't know who they are, so we probably got to do a little something else, a little something extra to heap some hot sauce on this situation. Are you kidding me?
Indeed. All right.
Dowell Loggins.
Yes, the quarterback coach of the Browns. We'll hear from him when we return here. And also, final chance to get your questions in using the hashtag mailbag, and we'll go through the mailbag at 2:45 p.m. Zagura Carucci, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Bowl.